Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn it in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. Matthew and chapter 13. I know it's hot. I'm going to try to be concise this morning. I'm going to try not to belabor anything. I want to get right to the point. And I thank you for coming today. Thank you for everybody that is here that is a visitor. Just know this. I really want you to just feel at home. I don't want you to feel threatened in any way. I'm just going to preach some Bible now, and it's going to apply to all of our lives. There's something here for everyone. And we want you to know that you're in a church that loves you. You've got baggage. I got baggage. We all have baggage. But you're in a church that loves you, and we're glad that you're with us. I either picked the absolute worst day of the year to have a big day, or the absolute best day of the year to have a big day. Because here's what it is. I picked this morning. Everybody that I know of that is not here, it's legit. They got good reason. We've got, it's either 17 or 18 prayer meeting families not here this morning. And it ranges from everything from another, some more kidney stones. I'm not talking about the one that was just recent. To some COVID. Gone off to, I won't mention them by name. Gone to Wisconsin. But a lot of families got in. One lady even had the gall to be pregnant this morning and having troubles. Unbelievable to me. All right. So no matter what. So all those people are missing. And still, this is probably the largest crowd in northern Michigan. So God bless you. Thank you for coming. Glad that you're here this morning. Trust that God is going to bless. So I either picked the worst day, the absolute worst day, or the best day. Because would it have been hot in here if we were shoulder to shoulder, wall to wall, front to back, all the way out in the foyer? And besides, it means there's more chicken for you and for me afterwards, right? And ice cream. We got ice cream as well. Matthew chapter 13. Now would you stand? I want to read three verses. Matthew chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this morning. I believe you have led me to the right text, and I pray that it will be anointed from on high this morning. That this preacher would be anointed. Not that I'm special, and I'm certainly not. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not worthy to stand in the pulpit this morning and represent heaven. I recognize that. But God, thank you for your mercy. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. And would you just use me as a mouthpiece this morning? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want your attention. I want you to bear with me. I know it's going to be hot. Maybe it's not as hot out there as it is up here, but believe you me, I've already got one white hanky soaking wet up here, and I got a second one here just in case I need it. But if you just bear with me, listen, and allow the Holy Spirit to arrest your attention. You say, preacher, why are you going to preach the parable on the tares that were sowed among the wheat? It's because everybody in church houses this morning, they're not born again. And I want to explain that to you the very best that I can. But let me start out by saying this. America, I'm a red, white, and blue John Wayne American. I'm more patriotic than most people you know. I love America. But America is a sinking ship. And religion is not the answer. And politics certainly is not the answer. I believe we've got to be involved. I heard a preacher wax eloquent on this to a bunch of preachers just last Tuesday. And man, he hit me right between the eyes. You don't spend more time in politics than you do in winning the lost to Christ. If you do that, you are out of the will of God. And I believe we need to be the salt of the earth. But even if we got all the right people elected this November and 2 years from now, it isn't going to fix America.
Amen.
Souls are still going to go to hell.
Right.
Politicians are concerned about two things. Number one, getting elected. And then the second thing is getting reelected. That's it.
Right.
That's it. And there are some out there that are real McCoys. I understand that. I know all of that. But the souls of men and women and children, that is far more important.
Amen.
And as much as I love this country that we're living in, it's a sinking ship.
Right.
Man, the best we can do is bail water for a while.
Yeah.
We can get a Holy Spirit revival. We can get to the place where people are getting born again all the time and all our lives and touching all kinds of people, and people are coming to Christ like the multitudes that stood on the seashore to listen to Jesus. Man, he was ready to preach and he's ready to teach, and he got in a boat and on the North Sea, North Shore of Galilee, he got on the boat and he stood in the boat, and multitudes, great multitudes, came to hear him preach and hear him teach. And your number one need this morning is, understand this, is that you need to know, you need to be born into the family of God. You need to know for sure that you are saved. Get saved yourself, and then make sure all your loved ones and all your co-workers and everybody that will listen to you, make sure they hear about Jesus so they can choose Christ as well, repent of their sin, and be born into the family of God. I tell people all the time, whenever I'm new, whenever I meet somebody new, whether it's in an elevator or at Walmart or Meijer or downstate or in a preaching engagement, I'm a born-again Baptist preacher. And I'll never forget one lady say, man, I never heard about that kind before. I said, unfortunately, there's some truth in that. There are people in church houses that are not born again. And let's go to the text. Let's go to Matthew and chapter 13. And I'm going to start reading with verse 24, but let me reread these first three verses again. Because Jesus preached and spoke in parables. He was speaking obliquely or indirectly to the unbelieving Jewish nation. He was preparing them for the kingdom to come. That is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But he was speaking directly to his disciples and directly to the church of Jesus Christ. I better set it up by saying this. The 1,000-year kingdom. Jesus is going to sit upon the throne of David, and he is going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. You say, preacher, I never heard anything like that. That is in the Word of God. That is taught in the Bible, where Jesus will sit on the throne. There'll be 1,000 years of peace, relative peace, in this earth. Before that is the rapture of the church, then the 7 years of tribulation, 3.5 years tribulation, 3.5 years great tribulation, battle of Armageddon. Man, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be in the tribulation. You want to be part of the church of Jesus Christ that's born again and raptured out of this world. But after that 7 years of tribulation, then there's going to be the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and Christ is going to rule and reign. The church is going to be there. We will rule and reign with him. That's what the scripture says. We're a privileged people. You choose Christ, you're choosing right. You're being smart. And you're being born, and Jesus did all the work, and you're born into God's family, and the best is yet to come. But during that 1,000 years, Jesus was speaking to the unbelieving part of Israel that rejected him as the Messiah, and preparing them in parables. They had ears that didn't hear and eyes that didn't see. There was a veil over their eyes, but he was preparing them. These are parables concerning the kingdom, but there's direct application. So there's going to be unsaved people during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. People will procreate, and there'll be 1,000 years, generation after generation after generation, and they still need to get born again. They still need to get saved. But there are unsaved people in the church of Jesus Christ today as well.
Amen.
Matthew 13, same day Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the seaside. So here's seven parables by the seaside. Four on shore and three in the house. Just going to preach one, a short one. And great multitudes, the need is still great. People still need to get born again. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. This is the region of Capernaum on the north shore of Galilee. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Go all the way to verse 24. I'm just going to summarize everything in between. I already did. He speaks in verse 10. He speaks of the unbelieving Jews that were blinded as a result of the rejection of Jesus as the Messiah and disobedience to him. It says in verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered, and a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given, because They are unbelievers. They don't understand. Verse 17 says, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." It is a privilege to be born again. It is good. Verse 15, I'll not read it. Verse 15, it's good to be saved. It is good to be born again. A lady asked me, actually she thought she was slamming me, but I took it as a great compliment. And being a Baptist don't get you to heaven. That's just kind of, I know the majority of people here, you're obviously Baptist, so I'm throwing this at you, all right? Everybody else, you listen in, and it's for you. It is for you as well. She said, "Oh, you Baptists, all you talk about is being born again, born again, born again." I said, "Lady, without being born again, all is lost. All is gone. Jesus said, ye must be born again, and except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Man, so the two kinds of people in this world, the saved and the lost. The born again and those that are not born again. And we're all the same kind of people. It's just those are people that will choose Christ. And of course, that is the wise thing. And that is the smart thing. Okay, let's get to the text. I promise you, this isn't going to take a real long. Look at verse 24. So Jesus here is speaking of tares that have been sowed in the wheat fields. Directly speaking of unsaved people during the millennial kingdom that the devil plants during the millennial kingdom, especially at the end of the millennial kingdom. I better not go in that direction. It's going to get too complicated here. So, but the same is true of the church of Jesus Christ. And I know, with the hundreds of people that are here this morning, there's some people here not saved. And we're not looking down on you. We know exactly where you are. We know exactly what your life is like. I've been there, man. I know what it is. But I want you to know you can be born again this morning. Amen. You can receive Christ this morning. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy," that's the devil, by the way. You can go see that in verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, all right? Because he interprets this parable for his disciples. "But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." A tare is a false wheat. A tare, it's called darnel. It's a weed that looks like it's wheat, and it looks like there's going to be a wonderful harvest, but it isn't. There's no harvest at all. In fact, it's useless. It's noxious. It is a weed, even though it looks like it is wheat. So the men in the field say, "Man, we got a big problem." They say, the owner of the field, there's tares among the wheat. Somebody sowed tares in the midst of the wheat. It's going to mess up our harvest. You want us to go and rip those tares out. Here's the deal. As a child of God, the church of Jesus Christ, there are those that profess faith in Christ and they are not born again.
That's right.
They look like they're wheat, but they are not wheat.
Yeah.
They look like they carry their Bible, they dress up for church, they know the music, they sing in the choir, they teach Sunday school lessons, but they're genuinely not born again. That means they're darnel. That means they're tares, T-A-R-E-S, amongst the wheat. There are phonies, there are hypocrites, people that are not born again. Not everybody that you think you're going to see in heaven is going to be there, because there are some that just kind of, I use this terminology knowing exactly what I say. Grown up in the faith, but there's never been the born again experience. Somebody could get saved at 4 years of age. I've heard testimonies. I don't remember anything when I was 4 years of age. Somebody maybe could get saved early in that, but there's a danger of growing up and knowing the lingo and knowing the language and truly not being born again. Not everybody that attends church is born again. Not everybody that knows the language is born again. Not everybody that puts money in the offering boxes is born again. You could sing in the choir, teach Sunday school, preach in a pulpit, and not be born again. And that means you're darnel. That means you're a terror. That means when the harvesters come, man, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. We'll come to that in just a moment. Look at verse 26. "But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sirs, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat that is with them. I know this. I'm not a farmer, but I know this. The true darnel, the tares, when the wheat is heavy, when the wheat is ready to harvest, the heads hang down low. There's weight up there. The tares, boy, this is a picture, are empty-headed. And that stands up tall and proud. And look at me, man. Man, I'm a Christian. I'm a Baptist. I'm a deacon. Man, I serve God. Look at me. I'm in the choir. But they're tares. They've never been born again. I'm preaching to people here this morning. You know some of the lingo. Maybe from your childhood, you remember some Bible verses. You could quote some Bible verses. But you have never been born again. You need Christ. The worker said, do you want us to go and rip the tares out? And the owner of the field said, no, that's God's business. During the kingdom, he's going to send angels. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ at the end. But right here in the church of Jesus Christ, that's God's business all the way. They're going to grow among you. They're going to be in your midst. The only one you can be sure of is your own heart and your own soul. And you make sure that you are born again. And I preach this saying this and knowing this. It is a no-so salvation. You can know that you're going to heaven. But understand this. This brings great comfort to my heart. God isn't going to make any mistakes. It isn't carpet bombing. It isn't him just swooping down and taking a load of people to heaven and some get missed and some get left behind and some get taken to heaven by accident. Man, that's not it at all. He knows those that are his. And their name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. God will make no mistake. Man, if you were 6 years old and in your bed in the darkness of the night, you knew about Jesus, somebody told you about Jesus, and you cried out to God and you asked Jesus for forgiveness of sins, all your sins, and you repented of your sin and you asked him to save you, he saved you that very day. No mistake. You're not going to slip through his fingers. There's no magic word in getting born again. And the Gospel of Luke, I think it's chapter 16. I am not sure. You read of the Pharisee and the poor man, the beggar, and how the Pharisee bragged and all that he'd done in the temple and how he served the Lord God Jehovah and what a mighty man of God he is. And the poor man, the beggar, just looked up to heaven and didn't even enter into the temple, stood outside and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, that man left righteous, justified. That man never was. So you need to know that you're born. And it isn't a magic word. It's coming to Christ. Let's read on here very quickly. I'm almost through here this morning. Verse 26, 27, 28, look at 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So there's coming a day when there will be those that are gathered, those that end this life, never being born again, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. What a terrible thing that would be to have happen to you or to anybody. Okay, let me make this as practical as I can. I probably didn't do a great job exegeting this passage, but I'll tell you what Jesus is saying. There needs to be a time and there needs to be a place. You get born again. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. Okay, I've been a preacher here for 43 years now. I know of pastors that are independent, fundamental, Bible-thumping pastors that were preaching in the pulpit for years before God got a hold of their heart and they got born again. I've heard their testimonies. Not everybody that thinks they're going to heaven is going to. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. And I'll wind this up. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. So the saved and the unsaved are going to coexist during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. They'll worship the Lord Jesus Christ there at the holy city there in Jerusalem. They'll worship the Lord Jesus Christ, but some of them are phonies, and they'll be separated. Right now, during the church age, this age of the New Testament church, there are people sitting in church pews that are born again and there are people that are not born again. And they coexist. You need to make sure that you're saved. Jesus said in Matthew in chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Listen to his words of warning. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied?" What's another word for prophesied? Preached. "Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them," this is Jesus, "I never," never, never one time, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Tim Rader's got a lot of problems. Tim Rader has a lot of issues. I get one settled and then another one pops up. Man, I'm just that sinner saved by grace. But hear my testimony this morning. One day this heart's going to stop beating. It might be in a fiery automobile accident. It might be on a work site somewhere. I don't know where it's going to be. But one day this life is going to end. You be assured, Tim Rader is going to be in heaven. And it's not because of Tim Rader. It's because of his Savior. It's because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I could never be a good enough preacher. I could never be a good enough Christian. I could never be a good enough human being to merit entrance into the kingdom of God. I cannot attain. I have fallen far short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a penalty for sin, for the wages of sin is death. Not only the physical death, but the second death. Well, if I die, if a man or a woman dies without Christ, they burn forever in the fires of Hades, only to be resurrected for a short time, to stand at the great white throne, to be cast into the pit, to the abyss, to the lake of fire, as described in Revelation in chapter 21. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Do that right now. Last verse, verse 15. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. "Some who claim to be sons of God are not. Some who claim to be daughters of God are not." That's why Paul told the church of Corinth, "Examine yourselves to see whether ye be in the faith." That's why Peter said in 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 10, "Brethren, make your calling and election sure, and ye shall never fall, and you'll be given entrance into the everlasting kingdom." That's why Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Many will say, "God, but I did all these good things." And he'll say, "You were never born again. I never knew you. Your name was never written in the Lamb's book of life." Before I read verse 15, last thing we're going to do this morning as far as in the scripture. Before I read that verse, on my worst day, my name is still written down in the Lamb's of life. Amen. The Lamb's book of life. We, about 10, 12 guys, I don't know what the number was, something like that. We helped put some trusses up for Tom Shahadi down there in Arbor Ridge on yesterday. He picked the hottest day. I thought it was going to rain. I thought we were going to get out of it. But it was, boy, was it hot during the day. We started at 8:30. We worked at just about 6 o'clock. And this old preacher, he was already spent at 3 o'clock. But we just kept putting one foot in front of the other. Thank you. I put it on a prayer alert. Thank you for praying for safety. You could have done a better job. There were injuries. But you did a good job. Nobody was permanently maimed. Let's see. Tyler cut his hand. Paul fell from the roof under the deck. What else happened? Oh, Derek slipped and ran his shoulder and side of his head into a door jam. And me, nothing real serious. A truss fell on my head. That was it. That was it. I don't even know what happened. One broken truss in that job. I didn't see it coming. I didn't have time to deck. It was dark or nothing. It was just like all of a sudden, boom, there's a bunch of lights. Oh, my goodness. "Pastor, are you all right? Are you all right?" Yeah. I wasn't all right, by the way. Guys, just so you know that. I was a little foggy-headed for a while there. But you know that pride thing kicks in? Just like happened to Derek. He got up. I'm all right. Paul gets up. I'm okay. But I know he was hurting. Man, I know it. And I didn't start getting witty again until late in the day. In fact, some would question whether I'm still litty, a little witty today. But God gave me that thick skull. On my worst day, if everything went wrong, if my house burned down, man, if it was just terrible tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, if everything went wrong on my worst day, my name is still recorded in the Lamb's book of life. 20 and verse 15, just the 15th verse. "And whosoever," that means anybody, "was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen to that. It isn't about religion. It isn't about becoming a Baptist. Certainly not that. It is not about doing the best you can. It's not about outdoing somebody else and maybe somehow God will have, you know, some mercy on you. No, he said, straight and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life eternal. Over 400 times in the Word of God, it says there's one way to heaven, and it's through the Savior. It's Jesus Christ himself. You either get Christ's righteousness put upon your life, imputed upon your life, that's a good Bible word, or you're going to hell. You're not going to make it. There's nothing more audacious than to think that somehow, some way, you can earn God's righteousness. You can earn God's heaven. That is foolishness. That is false religion. You will not find that anywhere in the Word of God. Baptism's a good thing. That's a good thing. But that's religion. That's testifying how good God is in your life. That won't get you to heaven. The Lord's table, that's a good thing. But that is not salvation. Helping little old ladies across the street, man, that's a good thing. Being faithful to the church, that's a good thing. Those are wonderful things, but that is not salvation. Your name needs to be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. If you call upon Christ, you get saved this morning, your name will be written down. Amen. Doesn't have to be recorded here. It'll be there in heaven. Right. Let me read the verse one more time. Let's all stand together. Everybody standing. And whosoever, that's anybody, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You don't want to go there. Let's bow our heads together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a little private time right now. I'm not going to trick you. Man, if you receive Christ this morning, after you receive Christ, I would love for you to walk the aisle. I can pray with you and help you. But let me tell you, this is the truth. You don't have to walk the aisle. You can get saved right where you're at. I'm going to give you the opportunity to walk the aisle. I'm not tricking you, though. You, in your heart, could call out to God right now and be born again. You say, preacher, what if I say the wrong words? It's your heart that he wants. I'll help you with some words. But the words have got to be your words. And if right now, September the 18th, just before noon on that sun, this Sunday, if in your heart you call out to God, he will save you. And if he saves you, and he will if you mean it, don't be ashamed of him. Tell people you got saved. You don't need to brag. Just testify how good God is. Say, preacher, I don't know I'm saved. Here's what I want you to do. Watching live stream. And we've got live stream watchers everywhere. Most of you are born again, but maybe somebody's tuned in that isn't. And you'd say, pastor, I'd like to get born again. That born again thing, I want it in my life. I know I have a great need. Here's what you need to do. Right where you're standing, in the quietness of your heart, you don't even have to pray out loud. In the quietness of your heart, call out to God best way you know how. You can use these words. He'll hear you. You don't need to pray out loud. Just pray like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a worthless sinner. I deserve hell. I've made such a mess. Please forgive me. Please be my Savior. Come into my heart and into my life. And I'm trusting you alone for salvation. Jesus. And I pray this in Christ's name.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.